بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. حضرت الشيخ ولي الله صاحب رحمة الله عليه، محدث دهلوي، is reported to have said the blessings and the favors that come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala come like a strong rain. But then it is left to the potential and the capacity of the individual. The heart is like a mirror. The cleaner the mirror, the clearer the reflection. And if the mirror has been covered with dust, with dirt, you will get a reflection, but not a clear reflection. So the heart receives, it's a recipient. And that's the focal point in a human being, the heart. One of the main blockages that overcome the heart is the love for recognition, the love for acceptance, the love for being known, popularity. So this is amongst the major, most, the greatest obstacle that comes on the way. And this obstacle is such that it comes on the way right throughout the journey. A little child, you will see the same obstacle in him. Many a times, children are coming in, new children come in, and you have to remind them all the way. And they're coming with their hands in their pockets. Now, these little children don't know that this is pride, this is a sign of arrogance. They have to be corrected. They don't know about it. And many a times they don't even know that arrogance is wrong. Attitude is wrong. They don't even know about it. And the wrong perhaps starts off from their parents, because their parents don't bring it to the understanding that this is wrong. One child had showed some disregard to his teacher, to his ustad. So the head of the madrasa told the child, go and ask for maafi. So the child with the hands in the pocket says, make me maaf now. So it was time of Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullahi, him two, three smacks he gave him. So go and hold his feet, go and ask for a maafi in the way it's supposed to be asked. So unfortunately at times, this thing comes about and it is not even recognized as wrong. You don't even understand, don't even recognize the wrong to be wrong. Now, that's a serious thing. So one of the main, the greatest blockages on the path is this pride, arrogance, recognition. You want to be known, conspicuous, outstanding amongst the crowd. So everybody wants that. And this filth is such that it doesn't leave you right till the end. You may think after a period of time, it has left me. It doesn't leave you. In your middle age, it gets you. In your advanced age, it gets you. At any given time, it gets you. And it comes in different ways. Now, there is a walima, or there is a wedding that is going on in the family or the friends, and everybody else is invited. Why did they leave me out? Why was I left out? So that love for recognition, really, most of the times, I get really pleased if I don't get an invitation. And why I get pleased is for two reasons. One is I know if I go, it's a 3 or 4 hour job, right? 3-4 hours I can get something else, right? Number one. And number two, if you don't receive an invitation, there won't be a complaint, you know. Hey, you didn't honor the occasion. You should have honored the occasion, you know, what's wrong? So you didn't receive an invitation, there's no complaint. So this doesn't leave you, it doesn't leave you right till the end. In the time of Shibli Rahmatullah Alayhi, the Mutaqaddimeen, old the pioneers, people that started off the tasawuf and all that, that time, Tabi'in, Tabi Tabi'in time. So one person from the Khanqah, he went and complained that another individual that is a member of the Khanqah, he's drunk. The Shaykh made out the one that is complaining, the complainant, from the way he spoke, there is a degree of pride that is smacking off him. See, but you see, from the way the man conducts himself, you can make out now this person is out to despise that person, to push him down, to show his excellence. You can see it. You don't need to have any special scanning machine for that. You can make it out the way he conducts himself, you can make it out. So the Shaykh told him, alright, what you do is you hold him in your shoulders and you bring him to the Khanqah. Now I used to go through all the streets and you say, hey, this Khanqah people really, really the off now. Both are really under the influence. Both are under the influence because this person is carrying the weight. Obviously, he can't walk straight. So both are under the influence. But the one that is carrying, he's more intoxicated than the one that is carrying. So, but in the process, his whole isla is made. He has to go through all the streets, get this drunken person over his shoulders, carry him through the streets and bring him there. So this thing doesn't leave you. You see, where we go off is we feel, no, I'm free of that. I don't have that any longer in me. So where we begin to feel like that we don't have that problem any longer, that's where you get stuck. And you get stuck. You don't only get stuck, but you get stuck there. You can't move afterwards. You reprimand me, you tell me something. So the immediate response is, do you know who I am? Do you know who I am? In other words, you must recognize me, see who I am before you speak. Before you open your mouth, you must understand my position. Understand my reputation. Understand what background I come from. So before you open your mouth, you must think about all these things very carefully. Now if the individual himself, he analyzes himself, who he is, he won't feel insulted if someone does insult him. He begins to think about his beginning. What was his beginning? A few drops, napak drops. What's the end? A lump of soil, right? Lump of filth, right? So in between also you're carrying some dirt around. So when he's got a picture of himself, a truer picture of himself, then he is not going to be, he's not going to be grumbling. He's not going to be complaining that why do people treat me like this? Why don't they entertain me? Why don't they invite me? Why don't they respect me? Why don't they recognize me? He's not going to complain. But the moment you lose focus of yourself, why wasn't I treated like this? I needed to have that type of respect. Why didn't I get that type of respect? But the Shibli Rahmatullah Alayhi, he's dressed up very well, very, very well. He's dressed up going for an Eid namaz or for a Jummah namaz. And one lady at that time, she thinks of throwing all her soot, you know, that burned coal. Olden days they used to use coal and charcoal and all that. So all her soot, all that burned black stuff, fine. And she decides to throw that at that time. He's proceeding for the Jummah or the Eid namaz. You can imagine, may have had ghusl, new clothes, itar, etc. Now this auntie, she found it that to be the right time to throw all this. Now, that tawazu and that humility is in the sadmatil ula. You know, at the first instance, what was your response at the first instance? Eventually you can think, you know, I'm nothing, manika katrahum, wagera, wagera. You can think about it. I don't say that's not appreciated. But the real appreciation is, in the sadmatil ula, when you got the first blow, when it was the first attack, what was your response at that time? Eventually you learn how to cope with the situation. But what was your response in the first instance. That's the important thing. So his response in the first instance, he says, "Oh Allah, tera shukr hai. Allah Ta'ala, ya Allah, tera shukr hai. Allah Ta'ala, I'm thankful to you. Oh Allah, I'm thankful to you. Ya Allah, tera shukr hai. I'm thankful to you." And then he goes on to say, "I'm in such a position that Allah Ta'ala is supposed to be throwing coals of fire upon me. Coals of fire are supposed to be raining on me. I should be burned to ashes. But Allah Ta'ala let me go like this with the soot, dried soot, cold soot just poured over me. I really struck a bargain." So now see how he looks himself. See how he views himself. Now this is when that inner self is being made. When it's made, then you begin to think yourself like that. Now this heart becomes clean. That heart, I explained, was like a mirror, you see. That heart comes to that position of acceptance when there is that type of clarity in that heart. And the main blockage, one of the main blockages on the heart, is this aspect of Hubbul Jah. Whereas we don't think, we don't take it serious, you know, we don't take it very serious. We consider it to be a very small thing, and a very, very insignificant thing. When I compare the people that were 50 years, 40 years ago to now, and the significant thing that I find, the significant difference, is in that time, people were very much more humble. Humble, content, 40, 45, 50 years ago, very humble. The elder shouted them, and they took it, well, it is the duty of the elder to tell me what he needs to tell me. Whether he told me in private, or whether he told me in public, it is his duty to tell me, and he told me, well, I deserve to be told. I don't consider it as something wrong. Why did he speak to me in this way? They don't take it like that. They take it in that spirit that, well, I need to be told. When you find that atmosphere, it's so conducive. In fact, it's such an encouraging atmosphere. Apart from an encouraging atmosphere, it's so easy to practice Islam. Just a few years ago, some 20, 30 years ago, there were people in the community elsewhere as well. If a person, if a youngster is coming with his trousers flowing below his ankles, then the elder person could tell him straight, "Boy, this is not right." And that younger person won't take exception to it. "Okay, why did he speak to me in this way? Why did he speak to me in this way?" Person is coming not clad correctly. They could tell him straight in the masjid, outside the masjid, "This is not right. This is not the attire that you wear when you come to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now you go and try it. Now it becomes a problem. He insulted me. I won't go to that masjid. What do they think of me?" So it becomes such a big story. Character assassination. Big stories. A character assassination. It's assassinating my character. He's becoming too personal. You see, we learn phrases, and the phrases are getting coined. Everybody is speaking about those phrases. But it's your own correction, it's your own rectification, it's your own improvement, it's your progress. You were going all wrong, and he corrected you. So you need to be thankful to that man. Though you felt insulted for the moment, but you think to yourself, "Well, what he told me was right. If it was right, then I must accept it. Maybe I felt a little bit hurt at that moment that he did tell me. But what he told me, was it right or not right? If it was right, then let me accept it and carry on." Aurangzeb Alamgir Rahmatullah. See, those people in the past, they had some superb qualities. Amongst that qualities that they had, one was that broad-shouldered attitude, very broad shoulders. You got a position, so you got that broadness in you. Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah Ali related one incident. One king was aging, you know. And as he was aging, so some of his advisors, ministers that are close to him, they complain now that you are on your way out now. And who's going to be succeeding you? Who's going to be the successor to your throne? You don't have any child. So who's going to be the successor to the throne? So the king also was Allah wala. In one zamana, it was such, the position was being conferred to the person that was capable. Whether it was dini position, whether it was dunya position, but the one that was capable was given the position. Now, any person and every person is coming in a position, whether it is dini or whether it is dunya, but he doesn't have the sense of responsibility. When he doesn't have that sense of responsibility and he's being posted to that position, obviously, there's going to be confusion, corruption in the whole department. So they will check the person out. Alright, how's he? What's the sense of responsibility? How does he manage his affairs? Does he have that level of responsibility? Does he have the level of tolerance? Then only they put him and post him to that position. But now anybody, everybody, someone got on certificate, they'll push him to that position. So you find that type of corruption in every department, whether it is dunya, whether it is deen. Now we're trying to work out why is there corruption and why is there that problem. The simple reason for this problem is that the wrong type of people are posted to the positions. They're not fit, they're not worthy for that position, and they have been given that position, whether it's government, whether it is our mundane life, whether it's business life, whether it is deeny life. But any department you go and see, it's the wrong type of people that have been given positions. So you must find corruption. So this person is on his way out. King is on his way out. And the people that are close to him, they feel, hey, what position we are in. Now you're on your way out. We don't have any person to succeed you. So he was Allah wala himself. So he cried to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the day. The next morning, he tells his people, all right, the first person to pass the palace after I die, you appoint him. You appoint him as the successor to the throne. The king is dead, they buried him, everything is over. Now, the following morning, they're looking for the first person. Early in the morning, they see an old man with a big stack of hay on his head, and he's going across. They bundle him. What are you doing? Everything is alright. You're not a criminal. They're bundling him up. They're putting him into the bath. They're scrubbing him down. The old man now carrying hay and all that. So he can't be in a good position. So they take him to the royal bath and all. They scrub him down. Then they put him some royal groves and all that. Right? Alright. Robes. And then they put him onto the throne. Now he's wondering what's going on. Anyway, they put him onto the throne. So the king normally has a sitting with a special class, with the public, he has a special sitting. So as that sitting is ending, the two main advisors are on the right and on the left. He supports himself on their shoulders and he gets up. Now, it's a royal protocol, right? Protocol, it's an etiquette. You can't just speak like that. You can't speak out of turn. So when they speak to the king, they have to say, Badshah Salamat, Your Majesty, right? And then the second protocol is they must say, Jaan Bakhshi Jai, I may be excused. I want to ask one question. So before he can make any objection, he has to follow the protocol. The protocol, Badshah Salamat, your honor. And then, Jaan Bakhshi Jai, I may be excused in the question that I wish to put before you. So sure, you can ask the question. What question do you want answered? So he says, until yesterday, you were carrying a big, big stack of hay on your head, moving from one end of the earth to the other end of the world. And today, you can't raise yourself without taking support from two people. What a disparity, what a change now. The big stack of hay you're taking on your head. And here you can't support yourself. You can't support yourself without the assistance and the help of two people. So now, this type of an etiquette is royal etiquette. You see, when the king gets up from his majlis, then the protocol is he mustn't just stand up. He must place his hands onto the people that are beside him. But now the advisor or the minister wants to check the king out. What's the advice that he's going to give now? See, you want to check him out now. Because this was now the legacy that was left behind the king. So now he says, see, up until yesterday, I had only my load to manage. Now I got the load of the entire kingdom to manage. Right? And then how do you expect me to manage the load of the entire kingdom on my own? I need you people's support. See, he's keeping up his morale and the answer is also with pure wisdom, you see. Therefore they say, جب خدا کسی کو حسن بخشتا ہے, جب خدا کسی کو حسن بخشتا ہے, اللہ تعالیٰ grants anybody beauty, then نزاکت خود بخود آ جاتی ہے, and then sensitivity all comes of its own, you see. See that now that this beauty now, that acting and all will come of its own, it will become natural. But now a person that is not looking well at all, ugly, dirty and all that, he tries to put on an act of beauty and all that, they'll run him down. Bhai, tere andar kya hai? What have you got that you carrying on in this way? But if someone has been blessed with beauty, right, then that nazakat khud ba khud aa jati hai. See, that comes of its own. So what we are getting at the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is we don't realize that we have this problem. Each one feels, no, that person has got the problem, I am pure. He's got the problem, I am clean. And we don't realize that this thing doesn't leave you right till the end. And each person gets it his way. Shaitan will show you some way. In the time of these Mughal kings, right, there was one Mullah Mahmud. Right? Mullah Mahmud was now very well recognized. Mullah is normally a learned, educated person, whether he's an alim or some other way, but Mullah was like a recognized, very educated person. So now he was like the Maulana or the alim of the court. The entire kingdom now, he is the Maulana. Anyway, another person comes in and the king is showing a lot of respect to him. Now when he's showing a lot of respect, now he is feeling threatened about his own domain, you see. So now he was already there, issuing fatwas and whatever else, everything was going on. And this person is coming and he is new, you see. So the domain is being threatened. When the domain is being threatened now, he feels now that whole focus is going to shift from me to this person here. So how to bulldoze him so that my attention, my focus, my domain remains secured. See this takabbur, how it gets you. It'll get you from different corners, different ways. Don't think now, no, I've crossed this hurdle, I'm past. No. Until the greatness, that jalal and that azmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't dawn over you full. The takabbur won't leave you. Let me tell you, it won't leave you. In some way or the other, it'll smash you down. You want that recognition, you want that respect at any given occasion, but you want that respect. I'll come back to this incident, but in between I want to say something else. It's Mullah Mahmud incident, I'll come back. Al-Mawa Gangwai Sahib Rahmatullahi mentioned this. It sounds like an anecdote, but it's also related to takabbur. Takabbur. You want your domain. You don't want anybody to interfere, interrupt your control. See, in the old days, they used to have this 40 days and all that. Fatiha, 40 days. We used to also go with your children. 40 days, 1 year anniversary, go there, get dal chawal, 5 cents at the end. Big money, 5 cents was big money at that time. So you look forward to all that, 5 cents, where are you going to get 5 cents? 5 cents like 5 rand that time. I remember, big money that was. So now, whenever they want to make any fatiha, anything, whatever it is, there was one person in the masjid, whether it was the mullah, whoever else, but they'll call him. So he's getting an envelope, he's doing the fatiha there, and everything is working out very well, you see. So after the end of it, he's getting a good parcel, food, everything. So he's getting his envelope, he's getting his food, everything. Everything is working on very well. Now that everything is working on very well, someone passed away and they need to do the 40 days or they need to do their fatiha anniversary, whatever they need to do too. They have to do it now. And incidentally, that mullah that was doing it each year, you know, for everybody who was doing it in the town, he wasn't there. They found another musafir. He said, you can do it. He said, no, do a small thing. Well, what's there? He went and did it. That new musafir. He doesn't know what's going on and all that. He said, oh, they want to do the fatiha. Let me just do it for them. End of the story. Now, as the envelope was being passed on to this musafir and the food and all the gifts were passed on here, so that old mullah, he got scared about his domain. Hey, this thing, if this silsila is going to start off, then I'll have no show here just now. You see, it's a question of domain. You see, domain. It may sound like a joke, but really it affects all of us. The businessman, it affects him. Molana, it affects him. In any department that you are, you want to look after, you want to secure your domain. You mustn't move on. And you will give 101 give different reasons. Yeah, no, no. It's with me, you know, it's secure in good hands. Other people are bidatis. Other people know the khyalat is not right. Someone is from something else, someone is something else. His khyalat are corrupt. So you mustn't go to him. So you will make excuses for yourself. That you are like a farishta, and everybody else is guzishta, past. So anyway, this person is working it out in his mind, you know, this thing is going to go away to the wrong hands just now, what's going to happen? But he's thinking, what to do, how to work this whole thing out? So anyway, he came back to the masjid, and he had his stick and all that. Old India, in the villages, you carry a stick, you know, snake or anything, any obstacle on the road. So he began to wheel it. Hey, get out of here. He's hitting it, striking on one end, striking on the other end. Get out of here, please now. Leave me for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. He made such a big noise that the whole village was there. Hey, he's swinging from one end to the other end, running from one corner to the other end. Until, swinging, he collapsed and he fell down, fainted. Now they revived him. Hey, Bullah, what happened? So no, I'm packing up, I'm going. I'm packing up and I have to leave this place here. Now, but what happened? You see, this fear of this domain, you know, fear of domain, your pride, your integrity, you want that. And you will justify. Okay, no, if I've got it, it's in the right hands. If it moves away from me, it's the wrong hands. So you're the farishta, you're the only innocent person. Did you ever see yourself from retrospect, from different angles? When there's a problem, did you ever see yourself, all right, this is my version, this is the other person's version. Did you ever see yourself from a different angle? There is a possibility that this person, what he's saying is right. Did I ever look at it from a different perspective? Or are you looking at it from one angle all the time? See, this is a very critical juncture, very, very critical juncture, where we want to justify ourselves. And someone has to disprove you, then you will prove yourself, you will prove your innocence. That person may just remain silent and he'll move away. But within your heart, you know, well, there's something wrong somewhere. Something I see is not right. How many of us have that heart? That's why the Quran Sharif says, "La khayra fi kathirin min najwahum illa man amara bi sadaqatin aw ma'rufin aw islahin bayn an-nas." I tell you, you know, after this age that I'm now, I don't say I'm very old, but I can tell you very safely, very, very safely, speaking in the house of Allah Ta'ala, and I can tell you very safely, you will only understand the Quran Sharif after you have learned the Sawuf. After you have learned Tasawuf and Tasawuf deeply, that Tasawuf color has come onto you, then you will be able to appreciate and understand the Quran Sharif. Otherwise, it's a little bit more than a parrot fashion, that's all. The parrot also learned something. And someone learned the translation of the Quran Sharif, he also learned something. But the depths of the Quran, what Allah Pak wants, what Allah Pak's message is, what's the theme of the Quran, you're not going to get it. You ask me, I'll tell you, you're not going to get it. You will need to have the clarity of that heart to that level. Then will that nur of Allah Ta'ala strike onto your heart. In the meanwhile, I don't say what you have got is wrong, but I will say it is insufficient. And you are not doing justice with the favor and the blessing and the bounty of Allah Ta'ala, that you're not cleaning yourself to that level. You will clean yourself to that level, then you will see a different light reflecting over your heart. But are you cleansed? I said, no, it's enough now. Enough is enough. So you've cleansed just to a certain limit and you feel that the Quran is going to reflect against you. It's not going to reflect. Sibghatullah, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ مِنَ اللَّهِ سِبْغَةً. That color is not going to rub onto you. You will be an in-between. You know, like in this day and time, there is a big encouragement for women to go out and work, right? Now look at it. There is a man's domain, there's a woman's domain. Generally accepted from 1300 years, woman's domain is the house. Now this last century, woman's domain is outside as well, right? Now look at a woman now, just look at a woman. On the one end, she has to play the role of a man, and she has to go out and she has to also venture, and then she has to play the role of a woman. You understand? She has to look at the house, and she has to look outside the house, right? That means, really, if you examine this woman doesn't know what's her role. Sometimes she's acting like a man, sometimes she's acting like a woman, So she's in between. She's not good this side, she's not good that side. She can't be doing both roles at one and the same time. She either make up her mind and be a woman complete and fully and do it right, or be a man and do that fully. But she's in between. One day she wants to be like a woman, one day she wants to be like a man. So she's getting caught in between. Either it's peer pressure, either it's a husband pressure, or money pressure that is forcing her into this lane that you need to be acting like a woman and acting like a man. And then there's this marital problem. Where is it started off from? It started off from here, where she has to play a double role. That greed has got the better over the man. The man says, like, you earning, I must earn. Like I'm earning, you must also earn. Right? So now she's forgotten her role. When she's forgotten her role, and she has to play a double role, now the man wants his comfort and his luxury, and he can't find the luxury, and she can't afford the luxury to him. Now there's a problem in the home. So it's one of the two. You make up your mind where you stand. You understand? You need to understand what's your role in that community, what's your role in society. And then you do the best. And you want to play a double role, you want to act someone in between, really. Really, you're making a mess up of things. You're not there, you're not here. So that's what's happening to us. Sometimes we want to act Western and get Western values ingrained in us, and sometimes we want to act Muslim. And when there is a clash of the both, then somehow we want to force a permissibility. I'm going to force a permissibility somehow or the other, just to pacify that person, just to appease that person, to make him feel, no, you know what, no, Islam is, this is what Islam is saying. Now you talk about, for example, how you appease the West. See? Islam talks of polygamy, right? You can marry more than one wife. Okay? Now, you want to appease the West. So how you come up, what story you bring up? You bring up a story. You know what, Islam had spoken about polygamy at a time of war. When there was a war, there were many males that were killed and martyred, right? So their women had to be taken care of. So Islam was encouraging them at that particular occasion. Now, this is an absolute distortion of Islam. Absolute distortion. Who asked you to act as a representative of Allah Pak? Allah Pak asked you to do that. So why do you do this? You made a mess up of things. Allah Pak didn't ask you to do this. He didn't ask you to be apologetic about Islam. Islam says, فَوَاحِدَةً أُمَّا مَلَكَتْ إِيمَانُكُمْ مَثْنَا وَثُلَاثَ وَرُبَعَ. Go and marry. So who asked you to advocate for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Why did you want to advocate? Why did you want to come onto the defense? And you made a mess up of things. It's like a woman, you know, a big parrot had fallen into her home, you see. So now, she picks up this parrot, big thing, has beautiful colors, very, very beautiful, exotic colors. And she sees the claws, tomb, overgrown. She says, hey, overgrown claws, how are you going to walk and all that? So she goes and clips the... Then she sees the wings, hey, overgrown wings, man. She goes and trims the wings. Then she sees the beak. The beak also so big now. Hey, so awkward, how is it going to eat? So then you going to trim the thing. Now it can't eat well, it can't walk well, it can't fly. So this is what we are doing with Islam. We try and trim, elasticize, correct. Allah Pak left it one way, but just leave it like that. Don't you try and do your own things on Islam. Don't ever try and do your own thing in Islam. That's how Allah Ta'ala will distort your body. فَنَرُدَّ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِ Allah Pak spoke to the Ahl al-Kitab. You want to go and distort this. نَلْعَنَهُمْ كَمَا لَعَنَّ أَصْحَابِ السَّبْتِ Allah Ta'ala will curse you. Allah Ta'ala will distort you. He will disfigure you. You don't play around. This is Allah Pak's, it's Allah Pak's domain. Just leave it as it is. Don't interfere. Don't upset this. Just leave it like this. If I can't practice it, I say I can't practice it. But then to appease someone, to appease myself, to go and distort the whole Islam and to legalize things, really it's a big serious responsibility upon the shoulders of the ulama-i kiram, upon the shoulders of the ummah. That did you have the license to go and distort Islam? Our duty is to present the truth as it is. After someone accepted it, it's his business. We don't need to go and make legalize and try and find out reasons and all that. We don't have to do that. Look at it. Look at a simple logic situation, right? You in court, the court passes judgment, right? This is a crime. You need either pay 50,000 rands or 5 years in jail. Your Lord, I'm prepared to pay the 50,000, they were taken and go. Right? But do you ever object to that? my Lord, how do you come, how do you bring about this? Why is this a crime? I didn't do anything serious about this. You know, I crossed the robot, but it was 1 o'clock at night. There was no possibility of me ever getting into an accident. So why do you say I did something illegal? You know, I didn't hurt anybody. Look at those people, they are killing people in Amlazi unnecessarily. They are criminals, you must catch them. What will happen? He will do two things. He'll tell you one thing, defamation of court. He will charge you further, sue you further, right? Number one. And number two, he will tell you, bhai, I am not in charge of the constitution. The constitution is passed in the government. I am just passing that law that they have passed in the constitution. What they have passed in the government, I am just passing it on to you. Now, can't we say that Allah passed that law? We are just passing that law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are not manufacturing and producing that law of Allah. Can't we just say that straight? But do we go and have to go and mess ourselves up? So anyway, I'm talking about this where, you know, each person is feeling afraid. His domain is being threatened. And then just to appease and just to comfort people so that he can attract more and more clientele, he's compromising the standards of Islam, standards of deen, just to attract people. Did Allah Pak ask you to do that? Allah Pak didn't ask you to do that. You ask yourself, istafti qalbak, ask your heart. So you're talking about this, you know this mullah, I'm talking this story. These are real stories, but it is something to make us understand. So he's swinging that thing from one side to the other. The whole village is there. Oh, the village, when they came up, said, what's wrong? What happened? So no, I'm packing up, I'm leaving today. Now I can't just stomach this at all. But by what happened? What happened? Tell us what happened. So he says, you know, I am old in the area, you see. And you see this Kabristan, all the rules in the Kabristan, they're all acquainted to me. They're all acquainted to me, very, very well acquainted. So whenever there's any fatiha to do, I see that everybody is taken care of, you know. Any biryani, barfi, ghee, anything comes my way, I see it's distributed to all the arwaz here. Every soul gets some share of it, he gets it. You see, but now this new person came. When he came, he doesn't know the amwat here. He doesn't know the mayyat. He doesn't know the kabristan here. But he doesn't know the kabristan. He gave one. He left the rest of the kabristan. So when I came in, they grabbed onto me. They began to choke me. I began to strike them with a stick from this side, from that side, from every angle. I began to strike them, right? And you know, I'm one man, and all this kabristan got me. How much can I defend myself? I'm just packing up. I'm going now from now. So they said, Hazrat, just stay around. Next time we'll ensure that we won't give this fatiha to anybody but yourself. So you see this power struggle, where it goes. Really, we consider it as a joke, but it's a serious thing. I was talking about Mullah Mahmood and a branch up to this story here. Again, it's a power struggle. They all say it's a power struggle. He is giving all maslahs, everything else. He's giving a guidance, instruction. When a new person comes in, the whole focus is turned towards him. Now this man is being threatened. That the whole focus is turned towards him. Mera kya hoga? They were focused towards me, so everything was working out. Now they have moved on to someone else. What's going to happen to me? See, this recognition. Really, itna bara khannas aur shaitan hai, to examine, to get to the bottom of this is not an easy thing. It's not a joke, really. Until jab tak kisi ki juti ko seedhi na kare, he's not going to go out of your system. He's going to catch you again and again. You go two steps, it catches you again. You go two steps, it catches you again. You're getting dropped down all the time. So now this Mullah Mahmood, he sees this new Mullah comes into the town and the whole attention is directed towards him. In the meanwhile, there is a janaza namaz. So because the whole attention is directed to this new Mulana, so there is a request that he should perform the janaza namaz. And the Mullah Mahmood also is saying, hey, you must perform the janaza namaz. The Mullah Mahmood knows that this person is not that level of Mawlana. He must have learned 1-2 years in the madrasa, he must have learned. He's educated in other respects, but he is not educated in that respects. The court, they'll have different ways of recognizing a person, like how you have on the radios and all that, right? Someone can speak very well, he becomes an authority on Islam, right? Someone can write very well, he becomes an authority on Islam. I was reading that Yusuf Ali's translation, so he's got about interest, and he says that this interest, that this usury is a different thing according to him, and interest is a different thing. But he says, in my opinion, this interest that is in practice in the conventional bank, this is not what the Quran Sharif is referring to. So there is no interest, that means. The only interest that will be then impermissible will be the interest that these loan sharks, they charge people. Otherwise, all these banks, everything is halal. Whether it is Islamic, non-Islamic, everything will be halal. Islam. Now, everybody is giving his 2 pence in Islam. He becomes a scholar also. He got his 2 pence. I mean, he's given his 2 pence, now he becomes a scholar in Islam. See? So anybody can speak a little bit, anybody can write a little bit, anybody can talk a little bit, anybody knows a little bit of Arabic, he becomes an authority in Islam. But what type of level of understanding have you got? And who were your tutors? How much of confidence they had in you? How many people did you bring to the path of the sunnat? Those that were off the line, how many of them you brought? That's the merit, that's the standard, that's what you go by. Not the crowd, how much you can attract. So anyway, this mullah noticed now the whole thing is going to be swayed on the other side. How to avoid this? So he's encouraging this new mullah. He's not a mullah. Like he may be Hafiz Sahib, Munshi Sahib, whatever. But now he's popular. Sometimes someone is popular because of his poetry. Very, very good poetry he's giving. So he became more popular. A little bit of Arabic he knows. He can speak a little bit of Arabic. So he became a little bit more popular. Alright? So he's encouraging him. Now you go and do the janazah namaz. Janazah namaz of a prince now. So obviously, you know, it's a further in the cap, you know, it adds to your respect, to the honor. So as he's moving towards performing the janazah namaz, he whispers in his ears, you know, majma bahut bara hai, to qiraat zara baland awaaz se karna. You know, the crowd is very big, so when you read Surah Fatiha and qiraat, read it loudly so everybody can hear. See, you see that shaitan, that takabbur, that pride. How it gets you, it smashes you down. So anyway, this person bought the story, led the janazah namaz, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. Now, he already led the third verse, they broke the janazah namaz, they threw him out, they kicked him out, physically they kicked him out. They realized that he's an ignorant person. But you see, what plan is played? How to smash the person down? See? You see, it's takabbur. You think now, no, I stay in the Khanqa, a little bit Ramzan, 5 days, 10 days, so all my islah is done. I am perfect, normal, everything is flushed out of the system. This whole community of mine is rubbish. I am a farishta. You see what happens? Really, this thing, it smashes you down. It smashes you down. I mean, there must be a reason why all these awliya kiram have consensus. Akhiru ma yakhruju an qulubil muttaqeen an qulubis siddiqeen hubbul jah. The last trait that leaves your heart as you become into the higher ranks of the awliya, the last thing to leave you is this pride, arrogance. It's this pride and arrogance. It doesn't leave you. You can't get the understanding of Islam. Let me tell you, you can't get it. Try what you want, but you will never get that understanding of Islam. Until you don't have that flushed out of your system. There must be a reason why Rasulullah had said, لا يدخل الجنة من كان في قلبي مثقال ذرة من كبر. You got an iota, a little bit of takabbur, you can't go into Jannat. And then, in another hadith, Rasulullah is speaking to Abu Dharr, Ghifari radiallahu anhu, says, من قال لا إله إلا الله دخل الجنة وإن زنا وإن سرق وإن زنا وإن سرق قال وإن زنا وإن سرق وإن زنا وإن سرق. Even if he steals, even if he makes zina, he'll go Jannat. But this one has got takabbur, not going Jannat. There must be some problem here. There must be something very serious here for Rasulullah to say this. Yeah, he's making, he's stealing, you know, he's robbing, stealing, making zina, all that, he still go Jannat. And yeah, this man has got takabbur, can't go Jannat. So what's the reason? The reason I say it very simply. The one that is in saraqah and zina, right? He's in theft and zina, he is feeling remorseful of himself. Hey, I am a kebab here, man. Hey, I am missing everything here. I am not fit to show my face in this gathering. I am not fit to come in the masjid. Such an embarrassing thing I do. Such a disgustful thing. I'm bringing disrepute, insult to the whole family here, to the whole house. I better be dead, you know. the earth just open up and just sink me. Just take me down, swallow me. But the person that has got takabbur, does he own up? He doesn't own up. He doesn't listen. I'm right. What's wrong in me? What's wrong? What wrong have I done? Another example to illustrate the seriousness of this wrong. You know, you got two workers in your shop, right? Both came with a delay. So the one person, you ask him, why did you come with a delay? He says, well, he comes with the hands in his pocket. He says, what's wrong? If I come with a delay, you come also with a delay. You know, you got takaza, I got takaza. So what's wrong? You are working in the business, I am working in the business. Allah Pak is providing. You think you are providing? You give me the rosy what? Right? What he's saying was wrong. What he's saying was wrong. Allah Pak provides. What he's saying was wrong. But you'll tolerate that person. Why you won't tolerate him? What he's saying was right. Allah Pak provides. So why you don't tolerate him? He's showing attitude. Because of the attitude, you chase him away. Get out. I don't want to see you. And the other one says, boss, you know, hey, Kolisa, man, I make maaf, man. Hey, I'll never do this again. You know, I'm doing this wrong things. I don't appreciate your job. You know, I'm really, really shameful. You know, it wasn't you. I wouldn't have got a job. You know, I got such a secure, respectful job. I'm earning such a good salary. And you've been so good with me. And I'm such a stupid person that I'm not sure that I come to you on time. Sorry, never mind. For all the humility that you're showing and you're crying, I'm going to take a 50 and more. Move away. Won't your heart melt for that person? Both have committed the same crime, but this person your heart opens out for, and that person, you want to put him in his place. You want to fix him up, you want to put him in his place. See what you're showing? You're showing attitude to me. So Allah Pak wants that. Kullukum khatta'un. You all are sinners, right? You accept that you are a sinner. You accept that you are papi, gunegar. You accept that. Allah Pak likes that. But when you're going to show attitude to Allah Ta'ala, what's wrong? What wrong have I done? What's wrong in you, Allah Ta'ala? Now that's the point where Allah doesn't like you. Where you're disgusting, you putting other people down, and you're showing that attitude holier than thou, you're showing yourself to be something superior than others. Allah doesn't like. From that point, Allah turns away from you. The whole attention, the whole focus is turned away from you. See this takabbur. So what I was talking about today, by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I started off in this way, the focal point is the heart. The heart is like a mirror, and the grace of Allah Ta'ala is showering, right? So, in proportion to the clarity of the mirror, will it receive that grace from above. You know, it's like a mirror, and you've got the sun coming in. If that thing is absolutely clear, and the sunlight coming direct, it will receive complete. It will receive complete. The whole place will be lit up. Why? It was absolutely clear. There was no dust. There was no cloud, it wasn't clouded at all. And it's receiving that anwar, and it's receiving it completely, completely, fully. So that's what Allah wants from you. By think to yourself, I'm gunegar, Allah wash me down. Wash me down, Allah Ta'ala, clean me. Could there be anybody cleaner than Nabi Sarsam? Could there be anybody purer than Nabi Sarsam? Could there be anybody that was greater than Nabi Sarsam? Could there be anybody that was more excellent than him? But in the hadith, if you see what were the last wordings of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what were the last wordings? See? In Hizbul Azam it comes, وَآخِرُ دُعَائِهِ. What was that? Huh? اللَّهُمَ اغْفِرْ لِي وَارْحَمْنِي وَأَلْحِقْنِي بِالرَّفِيقِ الْأَعْلَى. Allah Ta'ala, do forgive me. Who is asking this? The greatest of all Anbiya Alayhi Wasallam. At the time when he's meeting Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala is expecting him, Allah Ta'ala is wanting to see him. That's the greatest moment of a man. But in that greatest moment, the most joyous moment, the time that you're going to receive the fruit of all your efforts, at that time, Rasulullah is saying, Allah Ta'ala, forgive me. You're saying, Allah Ta'ala, you know all my achievements, what I've done, my accomplishments, and how are you going to receive me? How am I going to be paid for this? No. Allah Ta'ala, do forgive me. Warhamni, Allah Ta'ala, show mercy to me. Isn't that enough lesson for us? No matter where we reach, who we are, but we have that humble approach to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Kolisa, Allah Pak, forgive me. Just forgive me, Allah Pak, whatever it is. I'm going to do things, I'm going to spoil things, Allah Ta'ala. There isn't a thing that I did right. Can't we have that approach? Can't we have that attitude? I spoiled things. I won't do it right. I know I won't do it right, but I'll try. I'll try to do it. And I know my I know for certainty, I know that I won't do it the way that you want me to do it. But you ask me to do it, I will do it. And I know I'll spoil it. But Allah Ta'ala, you ask me to try. Man arada al-akhirata wa sa'alaha, you ask me to try. So in conformity with your command, I'm trying my best. Allahumma ghfirli warhamni walhiqni bil rafiq al-a'la. Allah Ta'ala, do forgive me. Do have mercy upon me. You see that approach of forgiveness and how it wins anybody's heart. It softens anybody's heart. The most zalim, the greatest zalim. But you go and just humble yourself before him. Ask for the forgiveness. No, I am wrong. Abu laka bi ni'matika alayya wa abu bi dhanbi faghfir li. Allah Ta'ala, I do confess and I do agree that your favors on me is abundant. Abundant. It's abounding. Your favors are abounding. It's just raining upon me. Before I can have breakfast, I already got lunch intizam arrangements. And before I got lunch intizam, I got already supper intizam. I got already everything arranged for me. And Allah Ta'ala, I'll ask you for rozi for the next 50 years. And not only for me, I'll ask for my children, my grandchildren, I'll also ask for them investments and all that. But Allah Ta'ala, you are so merciful that you didn't even ask me for Maghrib namaz before the Maghrib namaz time entered. Did you ask me for Maghrib namaz? No. And we asking Allah Ta'ala for 50 years. And not only for us, for the child and the grandchild that is still to be born. What investments I have left for him. Allah Pak is giving that as well. But he says, alright, I'm asking you this, that namaz for that time, go and do it. But do it nicely for me. Do it, and do it nicely for me. I was reciting that verse, لا خير في كثير من نجواهم إلا من أمر بصدقة أو معروف. Allah Pak says, in most of their secret counsel, there is no good. In most of the secret councils, secret discussions, there's absolutely no good. You go and see your secret council, etc. Is there any good in it? 3-4 hours you'll speak about all nonsensical things. And from all the 3-4 hours, perhaps half a thing that came out, something beneficial, half a minute only. Allah Ta'ala.